The Holy Spirit is the one with whom you have to do. This is why Pentecostals got so beat up in the beginning, because they were like, hey, yeah, you got salvation. It was the Holy Spirit who did salvation. Right? Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. And then the Pentecostals said, no, well, you got to receive the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, don't go anywhere until you receive the Holy Ghost. Right? That's the original message. Jesus preached the original message to the church. Yes, they were saved because they believed on Him. He was raised from the dead. That's classification of salvation. You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that He was raised from the dead, and you shall be saved if you confess Him as Lord. They were saved. Yes. But He said, don't go anywhere. Stay. And how many people do we have going everywhere without waiting for the Holy Ghost? He's the one with whom you have to do. He's the one. Right? And so when I put a statement like up on here, the Holy Spirit is the fear of the Lord. He is the glory of God. He is the outpouring of the rain, the former and the latter rain. He is everything. And when you learn this, He's the one who brings glory to Jesus. You can't even say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Ghost. Doesn't the Bible say that? You can't even say it except by the Holy Ghost. You preach too much about the Holy Ghost. No, not enough. You haven't heard enough. Glory be to God. We're going to preach more about the Holy. This is the dispensation of the Holy Spirit. And the churches who receive Him and walk with Him will do His works. And greater works. Because Jesus went to the Father. I mean, it is so throughout the Bible. And then you hear people religiously persecuting us because we talk too much about the Holy Ghost. Well, who do you talk about in your church then? Well, we just believe in talking about the Lord Jesus Christ and Him only. Okay, but He told you to wait for another. The another is the Holy Ghost. He will glorify Me because He'll receive from Me and tell you what those things are, and He will glorify Me. And you can't even say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Okay, I'm preaching to the choir here. Anyway, just had to get that off my chest. Because I love the Holy Ghost, and I've been developing a relationship with Him. And in reality, my Christian experience was very minimal until I learned how to say, Holy Spirit, I acknowledge You in everything that You are in my life. And I began to realize that He is God in the earth today. He's the one. And He is the fear of the Lord. And I'll show you that. And I put these scriptures. I realize, you know, I say certain things that just, they're borderline on the edge, aren't they, man? It's like, you say some things, it's like, but there's, right. And there's a reason I do this, because nobody else is, number one. Somebody needs to say it. I figure if I'm going to say it, I'm going to say it as loud and as strong as I can. Let the chips fall where they may. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. You ever hear me say that before? You say, you tell me I'm up here preaching heresy or something. I can't stop from saying Jesus is Lord. I get so full of the Holy Ghost. What comes out your mouth? Jesus is Lord. Who's the Holy Ghost glorifying? Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ. You get full of the Holy Ghost, you're babbling away in tongues and you start saying Jesus is Lord. Amen. Glory to God. He's the Lord. Jesus is Lord. Glory. That's my story. I'm sticking to it. All right. Glory to God. Let's get into this. I'm going to review a little bit. We've been talking about the fear of the Lord. And as you realize, it's a spirit of fear. Okay? Well, brother, we've not received the spirit of fear. Well, no, really, you have. That word where he's talking about the spirit of fear that you've not received is the spirit of intimidation. Look it up. In the Greek, and we're not going to go there today, but this is what it means. You shouldn't be afraid of anything. He's talking to Timothy. He says, you're not going to be afraid. Don't be afraid of these people. We've not received a spirit of fear. We've received a spirit of love and power and of a sound mind, a spirit, right? But he's not telling you, you're not going to be afraid of this spirit that you've received, right? And I've made statements like, your level of power will increase as the more you fear this Holy Spirit of the living God, because he's big, he's huge, he's scary. He's not Mickey Mouse. We don't preach Mickey Mouse Christianity, we preach third rail Christianity. And if you're going to come and you're going to hold on to the third rail, you better be living clean. Rich, who's not here today, I guess that just frees me up to talk about him, doesn't it? No. He's into electrical engineering and stuff, I guess. I still don't know what he does. But he was talking about conductors, all right? And if you have, imagine this, two solid metal balls that are completely smooth. And then you charge them with electricity, a positive current on one side, a negative current on the other. I get, you know, I could be a little bit wrong here. I don't really know what I'm talking about. But we've got two solid balls here, right? Well, when you charge them, at some point there's going to be enough power to release one from one side to the other. And what you have is lightning in between. Where the lightning strikes is the highest part on that smooth metal ball. If there's any jaggedness, right? This is what he was talking about. Is there any jagged or smoothed down piece of part? That's where it will launch from. And so part of what his job was to make sure that these things were perfect down to the millionth of a whatever, so that they were so smooth that they could be the closest together without actually releasing that charge. But anything that was bumpy on there, any jagged edge or whatever, that's where it would launch from, and they couldn't use it. You see how this applies to you? You need to be so smooth and so refined that you can walk in the power of God without getting zapped. Well, that's free of charge. It's all free of charge. But that one's extra free. Can you get extra free? I get extra free. You ever get extra free? We all know we're free. And then you come to church and you get extra free. You got rid of stuff you didn't even know you had before. And I'm just free as can be. Super size free. All right, you got some free. Now I got super free. Sounds like a band. Super free. Super free. Hey. Oh. It's like, okay, let's get into this. I'm getting goofy here now. So what happens? What happens when you start drinking? I don't know, Maynard. No, I don't know. What happens? You get freer. You ever see people's inhibitions fall down? I'm like, I remember when I first got saved. Okay. And they called me. I came and I'd probably given my life to the Lord 5 or 6 times. I want to make sure it stuck. But this one time I came up front and I was there. I felt the presence of God all over me. And after a while they were looking at me, aren't you going to go sit down with everybody else? And I was like, oh, no. Normally I wouldn't want to be standing in front of people. But I went up there and the Spirit of God was all over me. I was like, oh, no, I'll just stand right here. I'm good. You know, that's the way it is, isn't it? When you lose your inhibitions and you start saying things and speaking to people in ways that you didn't never speak to them before. You'll go pick up a flag and run around the room and be like that. Well, normally you wouldn't do that. But you do it now because you're set free. And you're freer than you were 10 minutes before. Is that possible? We're going to get super free. Hallelujah. That should be the message. No. It's super free. Hallelujah. But that's the way it gets. I get up here. I know, I was listening to the last CDs. I can tell because my speech starts to get slurred a little bit like it is right now. And I'm like, I can tell that I've been drinking something. Right? I used to play in bands and I would know immediately. I mean, because I played the drums and you have to be quite accurate on timing things with the drum. Other instruments, you can kind of scooch all over the place. It doesn't really matter. But with drums, you're hitting them at an exact moment, and it better be the right moment, right? But then I had this singer of mine who would come up. I could tell the moment he'd had just one sip of like a beer or something. I could tell because his timing would be a little bit off. Say, well, I'm not drunk, but I could tell because there was that little bit. Your tongue, right? Is a very high motor mechanism, isn't it? And talk like that, nobody understand what you're saying, right? The Holy Ghost gets in your tongue, does He not? On the day of Pentecost, He came and He got in your mouth and you started speaking in tongues. And then you acted like a drunk person. Yes, this is the way it is. So if I'm slurring my speech up here and I look like, you don't have to come and check to see whether I've been drinking or not. Check my blood alcohol level. I don't have a blood alcohol level. I got it right. He goes, man, this is off the chart. You got so much Holy Ghost in your blood, I don't know what's wrong. Woo, yeah, that's right. Yeah. You can make a correlation there between the Holy Ghost level and your blood. Where's the Holy Ghost live? He's in the blood. Hallelujah. Yay. All right. Glory be to God forever. I knew you guys were praying for me this week. Yeah. Hallelujah. Usually, I'll get up to about, you know, and I've been thinking about the messages and stuff that I'm going to present to you or dump on you or something. And I'm praying about them. And you know, Angie, how it is, you grab on something in the spirit and you know it's not done yet. That's how I get my messages, is in the spirit. Is I go and I grab on it and I pray on it and I feel around in there and I beat it up until I know it, I'm ready, it's done. Well, this week somebody's praying for me because I couldn't even find it in the spirit. Somebody else picked it up and prayed it through for me. Does that make sense? I don't know if it makes sense or not, but that's the way it is. Because there's certain things, you know, you can grab onto them in the spirit and you pray about them. And you pray and you pray and pray until you're done praying. Then you know it's done. I do that with my messages, and this week, where is it? Somebody's already prayed for it. Glory. So you're getting it now. Hallelujah. Maybe this is the message. Super free. Hallelujah. All right, we are going to, I hope, Psalms 89:7. It's just going to get better. We're going to have to learn how to function in higher and higher levels of the Holy Ghost. Isn't this right? Yes. Yeah. Yes. So we're learning. We're learning how to function and flow in higher and higher blood Holy Ghost levels. Yeah. We're pleading the blood, and He's going to turn up the level of the Holy Ghost in that blood. And the effect on us is always good. Ha, 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 ha. Hallelujah. All right, Psalms. I got to get there too. I'd say, let's see, Psalms 89:7. I know it's good. I read it earlier. Oh, glory be to God. Let's pray before we read this. Aren't you being religious when you have to pray every time that you open your Bible? Maybe, I don't know. But I want to make sure I've got the right attitude when I come into God's holy written word, right? I don't want to be flippant with God's word. I want to open it up, and I want to open it up with Holy Ghost eyes so I can see what He's saying. All right. Glory to God. Father, in Jesus' name, we approach Your word with reverence and fear. Father, I speak the blood of Jesus on me. I speak the blood of Jesus on this word. I speak the blood of Jesus on everybody in here. And we receive from Your holy written word. And we receive from the Spirit of the living God right now as He enters into every single one of us and fixes us and makes us what we ought to be. Ha ha ha. Hallelujah. I believe I receive it, Holy Ghost. Thank You, Father, for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 89:7. Oh, yes, hallelujah. God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of His saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about Him. We went over this at length last week, how God is greatly. What's greatly mean? Smally, minimally, no, greatly. He puts an emphasis, greatly, to be feared. If He didn't want to put an emphasis, He could have just said, to be feared. But He said, greatly to be feared. In the assembly first, and then on all those round about. Do we have anybody all around about us today? That would include everybody who's not here. Does that make sense? If He's greatly feared here, then he is to be had in reverence. If we don't fear him here, then that nullifies the end part of the verse. Do you know that with scriptures? There's your part to play. If you don't play your part, then the other team can't play their part. Does that make sense? If we're going to play ping pong together, and I get up and I slap the ball over the table and it goes over to your side, but you're not going to play, how long is that going to last? Not very long. So this is the way it is. When we greatly fear the Lord, does that give you a taste? Do you really want to fear him? I do. I don't even know exactly what how we're going to approach this all the time, but I want to fear him to the degree where he is in the assembly of our saints and all those around about us just reverence not only you, but the building you're in and all this stuff, because they just don't want that. There's something going on over there. I was wearing my t-shirt the other day. It says Church of the Living Dead. And then I was getting coffee at Starbucks, and the guy goes, Church of the Living Dead. And I said, yeah, scary name, huh? You know? Scary name for a scary church. It's a scary thing to fall into the hands of Almighty God, is it not? Our God is a consuming fire. Why were we making it so easy for people to come in and play Mickey Mouse with us and patty cake? It is easy to come in, but you better come in with the right attitude. And if we maintain that right attitude, then when people come in, they'll have the right attitude, and we'll all have the right attitude, and God can just manifest himself freely as he sees fit, which means we get to change. Hallelujah. That's the other thing I was going to say to you. We get to change. I don't care how far you are on your ladder of spiritual thick stuff. Spiritual success, how far you think you are. Guess what? You get to change even more. Yeah. Get excited about it. I pray it every day. God, change me. And then change everybody else too, but change me. I need to be changed because I want to know you. And I want to have all of those bubbly things all sanded off of me so that I can stand as close to the presence and power of God without getting zapped. Right? Yes. Maynard should have so much power on him that everybody else gets zapped and he doesn't, because he's so clean and shiny and smoothed down. You ever see those mirror balls on people's lawns? Why do people do that? What? It is weird. I'm going to put this ball out in the middle. It looks like that. They're so smooth and round. That's the only reason I said that. It's like a mirror ball on somebody's lawn. And people come up and they're looking in it. And they can see the reflection in there. And then they reach out to touch it and get zapped. Hallelujah. People are going to come up. The Bible says the glory of the Lord will be seen on you. And it will attract them to it. Well, you better let them know that they need to repent before they come in and start touching things. Because it's the glory of God, right? Hallelujah. Did I read that? Yeah, I read that. All right, let's go. I'm still reviewing here. Isaiah 11. Glory to God. Frangos lahibis. Yay, hallelujah. Ever hear Rodney Howard Brown? Rodney Howard Brown, he would go and he would try to preach, and he'd be saying the most serious thing he possibly could think of, and everybody's just laughing and falling out on the ground. It's like, glory to God forever. Yay. Hallelujah. Oh God, help me. Isaiah 11 and verse 2. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. What did it say? I mean, am I making this stuff up, or is this spirit another name? We could have gone down every one of these names, right, Maynard? We could have gone, well, the Holy Ghost is the spirit of wisdom. The Holy Ghost, well, he's the spirit of understanding, right? You can call out, Holy Spirit, spirit of understanding. Please come to me and grant me some of your understanding. And he would do that. Right? You can say, spirit of counsel. Is he not called the counselor? Am I making this stuff up? No, he's the counselor. Absolutely. Spirit of knowledge. He's the spirit of knowledge. But obviously we have to stop right there, right? Because that would just, it would be taking it way too far. And you must be taking this somehow out of context to call the Holy Ghost the spirit of fear of the Lord. Well, I'm sorry, we're taking it that far, all right? The spirit of knowledge and what? The spirit of the fear of the Lord. When he comes on you, he will make you of quick, live understanding in the fear of the Lord. Does that make sense to you? When the Holy Ghost, why did the people of Pentecost, original Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, why were they more reverent and had in fear when the Holy Ghost came on them than maybe other people? Why? Because they had the spirit of fear. He came on them. He's the Holy Ghost. He is the spirit of the fear of the Lord. Do you understand that? When you walk closer and closer with the Holy Ghost, you will walk in deeper understanding of the fear of the Lord and what that means. And that's what I want. I want to know what this means, because I've seen how the fear of the Lord causes the increase in the power to come up. Right? And that's what we're looking for. Hallelujah. And that, so my statement when I first said that, that the Holy Ghost is the spirit of fear, or is the fear of the Lord, that's not too far out of context, is it? Actually, it's not out of context. That's the Bible verse for it. All right, let's go quickly. I've got a whole bunch of scriptures. And once again, you can write these things down if you want. Take them home, meditate on them. Hallelujah, they'll do something to you. We're not going to have God do something to us every time we show up. Then why do we show up? Right. To play church? No, we're going to be changed. Hallelujah. Welcome to the change train. Super free. And the change train. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus is Lord. See, I had no intention of saying Jesus is Lord, but all I did was take a breath and it came out. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Ha! Isaiah 33 and verse 14. Yea. The sinners in Zion are afraid, and fearfulness has surprised the hypocrites. What is a hypocrite? It's someone who pretends they believe, but they really don't. Someone who's pretending something, but they really don't. The Bible says they're going to be surprised. Right? They're going to be surprised. Sinners in Zion are afraid. Now, we can take that, you know, Zion being the body, right? Are there possibly sinners amongst us? Some of us may need to get rid of some things. It's possible. But the sinners in Zion are afraid. Why? Because of the spirit of the fear of the Lord there. Go to Walmart if you don't want to be afraid. But come to church and be afraid. He is to be greatly feared in the assembly of the saints. That's why you repent before you come through the door. And fearfulness has surprised the hypocrites. This is the way it's going to be, my friends. People that are non-believers, people that don't believe, they're going to be surprised when they see the manifestation of the Spirit of God in direct, open manifestation. And it's going to surprise them. They're going to have to rethink their hypocriteness. Yeah. And they're going to repent.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Yeah. All right, let's go down to verse 18. I could read all the way down through here, and you should at some time. But right here it says, thine heart shall meditate terror. Where do you get these scriptures, brother? I don't know, all right? Thine heart shall meditate terror. He's talking about the terror of the Lord. Listen to me. When you hold God as such a powerful, supreme, almighty being with all power, he holds your very breath in your hand, and at any second, that's it for you. When you hold him in terror and you meditate on this, what does that do? It enables him, and we'll see that shortly, how it enables him to increase the blessing, power, and manifestation of him and his power on your life. You meditate in terror. Oh, yeah. When I found that scripture too, I was like, what? This is in here? Oh, my goodness. Thine heart shall meditate terror. Not on terrorists. And we'll see. We'll see here in just a little bit how insignificant some crazy person with a bomb strapped around their chest, how ridiculous that looks in comparison to this almighty God whom you walk with in power and glory. That's almost like you should go up and just pull the string on him.
Yeah.
Like, hey, here, let me help you with that. No, do not touch. Yeah, no. Because you fear nothing, and we'll see this. Got a lot of scriptures here that show it, but it begins with fearing God. And when you hold him and meditate in him, and you hold him in terror in on the inside of you, everything else just looks, please, don't even bother me with that. Snakes, terrorists, doesn't matter. You're going to do whatever God says because in comparison, the fear of anything else is ridiculous. Proverbs 22:4. And we're going to see this so very clearly. Glory be to God. I am very excited about it. I'm excited about the condition of your spirits this morning. When you preach, sometimes people are out there and they're like, well, I don't know. I might receive a little bit. I might receive not. You guys are like, let it fly, brother. I'll take everything you got. Super free. Proverbs 22:4. Hallelujah. He taught me. Am I reading the right thing here? I don't think so. I'm in 4. Proverbs 22. That would be good too. Proverbs 22:4. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. What did we say the fear of the Lord was? It was the Holy Spirit. Okay? By humility and the fear of the Lord. Are you going to be cocky in the fear of the Lord? I don't think so. Remember, Paul said, I was in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. Why? Because he was very wimpy. No, it's because he was in the presence of the power of God and he had to follow him and do whatever he said. He was not afraid of people. In fact, we'll see this in Galatians. He says, you can't even be a servant of Christ if you're going to fear men. Well, you will be afraid of something, and that something is the spirit of the fear of the Lord. And by this spirit of fear is real riches, honor, and life. Fearing what? The Lord is riches, honor, and life. Okay, hold on to that because we got a little trail to run down here. Hallelujah. Romans 8:31. Oh, brother, I know Romans 8:31. That's good stuff. Yes, it is. And it's going to get even gooder. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, glory be to God forever. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not freely with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. Who is he that condemns? It's Christ that died, yea, rather, and that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Here's Paul. He's giving off a rattling off a list of all these things he's been through. And he's like, nah, that's nothing compared to this love of God that's in Christ Jesus my Lord. Nothing. What else you got, devil? Right? I'm not finishing my course until I finish my course. That's what the devil would like to do. He'd throw all this stuff at you. Try to stop you. Please. I don't fear any of that. Well, how can you say that, brother? Because I fear the Lord more. Right? Now, if you don't get the fear of the Lord first, then all these other things look insurmountable and scary. But they're not when you fear God and His Word, which says by His stripes you're healed. So why would sickness bother you? You would laugh at it. This is what Paul is saying. All these things, tribulation, persecution, blah, 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 blah. Doesn't matter. I fear the Lord. And all of these other things are very small and insignificant in comparison. Do you see that? Whatever level of the fear of the Lord that you walk in is the degree that you can walk in the blessing and the power of God. Remember, blessing and severity, they go hand in hand. Hallelujah. This is why we meditate on the terror of the Lord. Is God capable of keeping you healthy in the midst of 1,000 falling on one side and 10,000 on the other? Oh, somehow I think we have scripture for that. Oh, you mean you believe it? Well, yes, because I fear God. Do you understand? All right. Let's see. Hebrews 13:6. Once again, I do realize I got a lot of scriptures here. I got so many scriptures, I was scared to put them all down. But you know what? Glory to God. I like the scriptures. I love the Word of God. The Holy Ghost wrote them. Hee ha ha ha. Glory to God forever. All right. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 6. Let's go with verse 5. Let your conversation or your living be without covetousness and content with such things as you have. For he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. What's better, having a bunch of stuff or having God say, I will never leave you or forsake you? You can start a miraculous, mighty work that's going to cost you hundreds of millions of dollars without a penny in your pocket if you have God saying, I will be with you. That was the first promise that God said to Abraham. Don't worry about all that stuff. I am your exceeding great reward. You could have no money in your pocketbook, no money in the bank, and you have God saying, fear not, I'm with you. And you got more than the guy who has several million dollars in the bank and doesn't know God. Because God can in a flat second, just take all of his money and wire it over into your account. Then he's got no money and you've got several million dollars. Amen. The wealth of the sinner is laid up for the righteous. Hallelujah. They're just holding it for us right now. So, you know, you should be believing God to give you these projects that are ridiculously expensive. Because you know that He's going to be able to give you the money to bring it to pass. Or why would He call you to do it? That'd be silly. I think God's a little wiser than that. He could be called the Spirit of Wisdom, by the way. All right. Hebrews 13:6. That we may boldly say, and I hope to get into this a little bit when we go on this journey. There's a lot to do with what you say out your mouth concerning the fear of the Lord. All right? This is how you get saved. This is how you, when you receive the Holy Ghost, it comes out your mouth. Our mouth is what makes us like God. The ability to say things and believe they're going to come to pass. Hallelujah. So that we may boldly say, boldly, the Lord is my helper and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. How can he say he will not fear what man shall do unless he first had a fear of God? Do you understand? I can boldly say, I will not fear what man can do to me because the Lord is my helper. Right?
Amen.
You will not fear what the devil may think he can do because the Lord is your helper. It gives you boldness, this fearing God above everything else. Sets you free. Sets you super free. Free from everything. Except one. The fear of the Lord supersedes everything else. All right. Glory be to God forever. We'll go quickly here. Galatians 1:10. Galatians 1:10. For do I now persuade men or God? Do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Who is Paul serving? Men, hoping that they won't stone him? Because when he declares the word of the Lord to them, it could either persuade them to be saved, or it could irritate them to the point of trying to stone him. Who is he serving? God. He fears God much more than men. And this will increase on you to the point, Paul, he was ready to go in that mad crowd. Remember, the whole city was in an uproar. They were ready to stone anybody and everybody. And Paul said, oh, I'll go in there and I'll calm them down. Yeah, you'll calm them down, sure. Didn't even faze him a lick. He's like, I've been stoned and raised from the dead before. No big deal. Right? He says, if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. I'm telling you, he must have had a really big comprehension of how great his God was to make statements like this. Oh, my God is so big, so capable of delivering me. I can boldly say I will not fear man. But it's because he had this reverential, super reverential fear of God that gave him that boldness. Let's go on here. Luke 12. And there's some supernatural things that take place. Do you believe that?
Amen.
When you do something that God tells you to do, is there a supernatural effect that takes place? There's a cause and effect. There's an effect when you believe God and you put your faith on the line. You declare something. Does something happen?
Yes.
Does something come to pass in the spirit realm and then eventually manifest in the natural realm? I know we're at least on that page. Yes. Glory be to God forever. Luke chapter 12. And verse 4. Hallelujah. And I say unto you, my friends, Jesus is calling them friends. Hallelujah. I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more they can do. But I will forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear him which after he has killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Did I read that out of the Bible? I think I did. This is Jesus, our Lord. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ told us who to fear and whom not to fear. Don't fear men. I tell you who to fear. Fear God. All right? Go down to verse 8. Also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me, once again we're talking with the mouth, confess me before men, him shall also the Son of Man confess before the angels of God. He that denies me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. Well, brother, I know it says that. This just means that, you know, the angels applaud what you do. When you confess the lordship of Jesus before men, the angels sit around and go, oh, yes, Jesus, oh, look, he's confessing us before men. Isn't he a good servant? Let's just get him, let him get fried anyway. No. What do angels do? They're sent here to minister for those who are heirs of salvation. When you fear God to the extreme, to the point where you don't fear anything else and you don't fear men and you'll say whatever God tells you to say out your mouth in front of anybody, then the audience is the angels of God. And they're there to bring to pass your deliverance and salvation. He says, if you don't confess me before men, then, you know, I won't confess you before the angels of God. There's a greater spiritual reality going on here in the fear of the Lord. When we fear him to the point where we will declare and do and say whatever he says, irregardless of circumstances. Listen to me. This is what you've got to do. If you got debt in your bank account, you got to go up to your bank account and tell it to be paid off. Tell those debts to be paid off. And when you do, you're confessing the lordship of Jesus Christ over that situation. And what does the angels do then? Oh, I wouldn't dare say anything like that to my checking account. Oh, goodness, the devil might come in and just really rip it up. People are like that. They're afraid that the devil's listening to everything they say. And they're afraid of it. What are you afraid of? Fear God more. Fear his word that I will say out my mouth what God says about me. Yes. I'm healed even if I don't look healed. Amen. And when I say that, I'm talking in the front of sickness and disease and I'm declaring that I am healed. Yes. And I'm not fearing that sickness and disease, and that enables God and the angels of God to bring that healing to pass in your life. You understand, it goes beyond being scared of an angry mob with pitchforks and stones. This goes into every area of life when you declare in the fear of the Lord or the Spirit of the Lord. Remember? You fear him more than your circumstance, more than your sickness, more than your lack, more than anything that there is that's coming against you. And you declare against it what the word says, then it will come to pass by the angels of God. They will start working immediately on it. Yeah. I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men or in the kingdom of men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. Ha, ha, ha. Luke 23:39. Fear God. Don't fear your circumstance, goodness, or your boss or any other man. They're just men. Fear God above everything. Hallelujah. He makes all your circumstances look ridiculous. Think about that. You're in the presence of Almighty God right next to his throne. What does your circumstance look like? It looks ridiculous, doesn't it? It's like, oh, what can't God do? He can do anything. As long as you're in line with him, confessing him, and doing what he says to do, then you've got all his angels, you've got all his ability, you've got all his wealth, you've got all his healing power, and you've got the Holy Ghost, who is the spirit of fear, bringing it to pass for you. Amen. Hallelujah. What can stand in front of that? Who shall separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord? Who? What? Where? Show them to me. That's right. Glory to God forever. Shoo. Luke 23:39. You guys all right? We'll keep going here. Luke 23:39. Hallelujah. All right. Jesus hanging on the cross. One of the malefactors. Did you know that word was in the Bible? I didn't know. You know, when I read that, I was like, ha, that's funny. Hey, one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answered, rebuking him, saying, dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive our due reward for our deeds, but this man has done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord. He said unto Jesus, Lord. Ha 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 ha. Yay. Glory to God. He said unto Jesus, Lord. Hallelujah. Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto you, today shall thou be with me in paradise. Hallelujah. Glory be to God forever. What did he say? Do you not fear God? Here's a thief on the cross. What led the way for him to get saved? The fear of the Lord. He feared the Lord. He feared God. Do you see that? Salvation came to him because he feared God. The other guy didn't. He was railing on him. Ah, if you're the Christ, come on, get us down from here. And the other man said, Lord. Right? It was fear that led him into the kingdom. Fear will lead you into the kingdom, into salvation. Salvation's an all-inclusive word for your finances, for your health. Yes, for your soul. Yes, for your kids. Yes, for your family. Fear God above all those circumstances. They were hanging on a cross. You can't tell me that's not a bad circumstance. But because he didn't fear the cross, he didn't fear the circumstance, he feared the Lord. It was the key to his salvation. It's the key to your salvation, is fearing God above whatever else it is that may be coming against you. Hallelujah. Daniel 3:6, and I know you remember this story. Hallelujah. I will go quickly there. Yay, hallelujah. Ooh, you better be scared of some fire. Fire, fire, fire. 10 times hotter than any other kind of fire. That's really, really hot fire. I mean, just cool fire is pretty hot, isn't it? That's why it's funny. This is extremely hot fire. Really scary. And see, you're laughing at it. So we laugh at fire. We laugh at all these things because the fear of the Lord is greater than fire. Does he not quench fire? Can't he? Well, let's just see here. Let's just read a nice story here about these people. Do you think Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego feared the king? We're going to see how they talked to the king. Okay? They didn't fear the king. They feared God. And they had an attitude. All right. Daniel 3:16. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus is Lord. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, oh, Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. We're not careful to even answer. Now, think about it. Before a king, he's threatening them that they're going to be thrown into a fiery furnace. This was the decree that went out. If you don't worship the big, ugly statue made out of gold, then you're going to be thrown into the fiery furnace. They said they weren't even care. They didn't even care about that. Oh, we don't really care what your decree is, king. Well, that man had to make the hair rise up on the back of his neck. We're not even careful to answer you in this, man. We're not even thinking about it. That's not even a question to us. Somehow his threats of fear just bounced off him. It didn't even affect him. Threats of fear. He threatened to fry him. Where was I? Glory to God forever. Ha, he, ha. we're not careful to answer you in this matter. If it be so, now you gotta listen to this. Read the whole concept of the story here. He said, this is what's gonna happen to you. You're gonna be thrown into the fiery furnace if you don't bow and worship it. They said, we're not even careful to answer to you. And if it's so that you're gonna do this, if it be so, who's he questioning here? It's questioning the king's, like, if you really do, if it's so, if you're really going to do this, because it sounds retarded to me, you're going to throw people in a fiery furnace. We've been working for you. We're good workers. We do a lot of stuff in the camp. And you're going to throw us in a fiery furnace because we won't bow down and worship this ridiculous thing out there. So if it's so, if you're going to do you understand the tone that they have? Because I've heard this the other way. If it be so, if God does deliver us. No, that wasn't even the question. If it's so, king, you're going to throw us in the fiery furnace. Oh, glory be to God. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. Right? I mean, this is the God they serve. They obviously knew God. They feared him more than this king and his statue and his fiery furnace. If it be so that you're going to throw us in there, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace and will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. Listen to words once again. What are they saying? He will deliver us out of your hand, king. Kingity king, king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. And I love that statement, because right there they're just saying, but if not, I'm still not going to do it. That's just looking death in the face and laughing. Ha ha ha, I'm still not going to do it. All right. Glory be to God. Now, do we know what happened here? I didn't have enough room. So what happened here? King was really mad. Threw him into the fiery furnace. The seven guys who threw him in there, they were burned up by the extra hot fire. And then what was down on the inside of there, may I ask? They looked down in there and the Bible said there was an angel down in the fire with them. What did Jesus say about fearing God and confessing him before men? Who would hearken and who would be sent to your deliverance? An angel. Or a multitude of angels, whatever you need. And so the angel, because they did what Jesus said, they were able to go through this thing and God delivered them. And set them even in a higher place in the kingdom. Don't fear men, what they can do. Fear God. All right. Did you see that with the angels? I thought that was really cool. Hebrews 11, hallelujah, 23. Glory be to God forever. Hallelujah. Hebrews 11, 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child. Obviously, he ate with a fork and a spoon. No. He was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Once again, a deliverance was established, a real deliverance. What if Moses didn't make it here? Then all of Israel wouldn't have been delivered, right? So this is really profound stuff. They were not afraid of the king's commandment. They feared God more. And a deliverance came to pass. We'll quickly go through these. Hebrews 11, 26. Hallelujah. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. This is talking about Moses when he was in Egypt. He considered the reproach of Christ greater riches than all the wealth that he had in Egypt. He was the son of the Pharaoh there. That's pretty high up. You don't get much higher up than that in a kingdom. I mean, you had the nicest stuff of there. He just snubbed that and said, that's nothing compared to what? Christ. Do you understand? He feared God more than the king. There's this balancing act that goes on, and I hope you're seeing this. Where is your reward? It is in the fear of the Lord, riches and honor and life. Even if riches are presented to you on one side in the world, fear God more, because riches and honor and real life, real riches, real honor, real life come from God. He's the one who has it all. Everything else is just a sham. Proverbs 29, 25. Once again, I'm just putting these things out here real quick, all right? Proverbs 29, 25. Hallelujah. I believe we're getting this. I believe these are things that have gone down into our spirits and we're seeing things. Hallelujah. And you know what? You're going to see more things as you get home. I don't have the time and capacity to put everything into you. But as this goes in and begins to develop, it's like a seed that goes on the inside of you and it begins to grow and shoot out branches. I'm just showing you the seed. It's the fear of the Lord. Hallelujah. Proverbs 29, 25. Sounds good already. Hallelujah. The fear of man brings a snare, but whoso puts his trust in the Lord shall be beat up and cast into a fire and kicked down and ruined. No. Shall be safe. What are you going to believe? You're going to believe his word? You're going to fear his word? You're going to put his word first? Whoso puts his trust in the Lord shall be safe. 1,000 may fall at one side, 10,000 on your right hand, but it won't come near you. You're going to believe it? You're going to fear that word enough to confess it before men, and then the angels can bring it to pass? Or are you just going to sit there and say, oh, I'm scared, I don't know what to do? Yeah, you're scared of the circumstance. And it's disgusting in the nostrils of God. You fear men, you can't be a servant of Christ. You understand? Hallelujah. Sorry, I'm yelling at you. But I'm yelling at myself too, right? We're going to fear his word. If it be so, oh great and mighty sickness, if it be so that you think you're going to come on me and make me cough, I'm not going to serve you anyway. I'm still going to say the Lord is my helper. I shall not fear.
Yes, that's right.
By his stripes I'm healed. And the angels will do what? They'll bring it to pass. They'll make a way where there was no way before. Rivers in the desert.
Yes.
Even if the angels are out in front of you, digging a big trench along to get you. Angels can do that. Hallelujah. The fear of man brings a snare. Whoso puts his trust in the Lord shall be safe. That's the word of the Lord. Glory be to God forever. Numbers 14:9. Hallelujah. Glory be to God forever. Whew. Only rebel ye not against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. This is when they were ready to enter the land. Don't fear them. They're bread for us. Their defense is fallen. What defense? If they don't have the Spirit of God. And I love these scriptures. Maybe we'll get into more of them where it says the fear of the Lord went before them. Took their defense away. Fear them not. What kept them out? They feared, remember? The spies that came back, only two of which didn't fear them. The other ones feared them. They didn't go in. They died in the wilderness. Only the two who didn't fear went in. Tell me the fear of the Lord isn't important.
Yes, it is. Amen.
Hallelujah. They are bread for us. Deuteronomy 3:22. I'll just read it. You shall not fear them, for the Lord your God shall fight for you.
Amen.
What's the key here, though? Not fearing them and fearing God. He fights for you. Ezekiel 3:9. Turn over there if you would. This has been one of my favorite scriptures since I was a wee one. Well, maybe not really wee. But younger, anyway. All right? Here is Ezekiel. You got to underline this one and put stars next to it. Hallelujah. Ezekiel 3, verse 9. Flingros lehabius. Hallelujah. All right, 3, verse 9. Behold, I have made thy face strong against their faces, and thy forehead strong against their foreheads, as an adamant harder than flint. Have I made thy forehead? Fear them not, neither be dismayed at their looks, for they are a rebellious house. What is God telling Ezekiel? God was giving Ezekiel words that he was going to have to go and speak to these people that they were not going to want to hear. And you may come to that position at times when you have to say something that people that you're talking to just plain don't want to hear it. But God said he made his face harder than theirs. He made his forehead like an adamant, or you could consider a diamond, right? Harder than a flint rock. Meaning they may be hard, but guess who's harder? When those two forces come together, what breaks?
They do,
not you. You understand? He's fearing the word of the Lord to the degree where their looks of disapproval. I've seen those before just preaching. I disapprove of such and such a message. Well, that's just like saying, stick him to a bulldog to me. I just go farther into it. Hallelujah. Because I know, I've been meditating on this since I was probably 17 years old. I know what's going to break. And it's not going to be me in the spirit of, think about it, the spirit of God on you, the spirit of the fear of the Lord on you. What's going to break? The circumstance.
Yes, it is.
The situation.
Yes.
The crowd of people.
Yes.
That's going to break, not you. That's what he's saying here. You won't break. The circumstance will break. The poverty will break. The sickness will break.
Yes.
Don't fear it. Fear God, because what you have is stronger. Is it not the word of God? Is it like a rock? It's a bedrock that all things are set on. And when you're on that rock, nothing can shake you. Nothing. Your power is greater than any other power. So back off things and circumstances, because we're coming through. Ha ha. Hallelujah. They make those drills. You ever see those drills? A guy got really rich. I used to know his name. I wish I knew it right now on the tip of my tongue. He came up with a drill that cut through a rock. Who was it? I'll figure it out though. He made a drill that cuts through a rock and it kind of goes in on itself. And they put diamonds on the edge of this thing. And they drill wells, oil wells and stuff with it. And they go right down through the bedrock. Do you think this drill head is scared of the scary looking rock? Oh no, I've come up to some very hard granite. What am I going to do? Oh, what am I going to do? Pull me back up. No, he's like, let me at it. I'm going to get that rock, and he goes right through it. It's harder than the rock. Do you understand? The Holy Ghost is harder than your circumstance.
Yes.
Yay, hallelujah. Okay. Psalms 91:5. Oh, brother, finally a scripture I knew. Psalms 91. Hopefully we'll end on this. I believe we can. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. Shoo. Hallelujah. I've been making reference to this one all day here. Let's see. 91:5. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, no, for the pestilence that walks in the darkness, nor for the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Verse 11, For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. Friends, this is not just some stupid thing I made up. This is the Bible. When you stand in the fear of the Lord, on his word, and you don't fear the circumstance or the pestilence or the army or whatever it is, and you confess his deliverance, I will not fear, the Lord is my helper. I don't fear what men shall do. Then the angels come into play, and they hold you up lest you cast your foot against a stone. Do you see it?
Yes.
What's the key? It's fearing God. The fear of the Lord, the fear of his word, the fear of the things of the Spirit of the living God.
Yes.
And maintaining your confession in that will bring you through any difficulty. Don't fear it. Don't let fear ever come in. Fears of the devil. But the spirit of the fear of the Lord is from God. It's the Spirit of God. Do you understand? Why was the devil so big into fear? Think he might know there's a little bit of power there? So he comes up with this fake fear. All right, you can meditate on that. Glory to God, but he's always trying to imitate the things of God. The fear of the Lord, though, is the beginning of wisdom. And there's riches and honor in life in the fear of the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Let's just pray right now. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you that you're revealing things to us. I ask for the next step. I ask for every person in this room, the next step and the next step for this church, that we may enter into a greater understanding of the glory of the Lord and the fear of the Lord and your outpouring in this last day. Oh God, may we be a part. May we be changed. Change me, change them, change all of us, that we may stand in your glory and your perfection in the earth as the bride of Christ, beckoning you at your coming. And we call, come, Lord Jesus, come. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Amen.